Hello, thank you for clicking play. If you're passionate about supporting small business, small creators, and are enjoying the podcast, I would love if you considered supporting me and the show via Patreon. You'll find the link in the show notes, where you can join us from as little as £3.50 a month. You'll be supporting the making of the show, enable me to keep the show ad-free, get behind-the-scenes content, blog posts, and lots more. Just click the link in the show notes to find out more. Now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to Independent Thinking, the podcast exploring a new era for the high street. We celebrate those who are doing wonderful, creative things in the most difficult of circumstances. We'll be going behind the scenes of businesses and shops you love, that you look forward to visiting and that add joy to your high street. I'm your host, Alexandra. Welcome along. Hello and welcome along. Today I'm delighted to be joined by Annie Mars, Lead Officer at UNESCO City of Design Dundee. In recent years, Dundee has undergone a huge amount of change driven by design, from new public realm and waterfront development to the opening of a world-class facility with V&A Dundee, dedicated to celebrating innovative approaches to design. But how has this impacted Dundee's approach to their city centre and local high streets and the way people in the city shop, work and live? We chat to Annie about Dundee's creative, independent spirit, how good quality collaborative design should be at the heart of our response to tackling the problems faced in our high streets, and we look ahead to the approach the city's taking as they create their 30-year strategy for the centre. Enjoy! Annie, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. This grey, well, I don't know what it's like in Dundee, it's very grey Friday in Edinburgh. Lovely to have you.
It's sunny in Dundee. Oh, it's always sunny in Dundee.
It is always sunny in Dundee. It's true what they say. The best sunsets as well you'll ever see in your life. It's true. Thank you so much for joining us. In the series where we're thinking about the role of community and our high streets and, I guess, all the different facets to our high streets and who is involved in shaping them and how we use them. And I guess it's a lot more than retail that we're discussing. But first of all, I just wanted to talk a little bit about Dundee. And Dundee, you know, UNESCO City of Design since 2014, you know, the first and only City of Design in the UK. And I just wanted to say, explore a little bit about that, and what do you think it is about Dundee's approach to design specifically that you think makes it so distinctive?
Great question. Absolutely. I think there's a couple of things. I think we have to kind of think a bit about the type of place that Dundee is and the type of people that are here as well. Mm. And there's a real confidence and a real sense of pride in the city and in the heritage. So, you know, we do have like a significant design heritage. You know, we can talk about things like textile industry, you know, we can talk about printing and comics, you know, small electronics, computer games, you know, all of those bits and pieces, even going right back to, you know, like shipbuilding and stuff. You know, we can talk about all of those things. But what's really, I think, important for us is that while we have that design heritage and we acknowledge that design heritage, it's what does that mean for our kind of contemporary life today? And how might that influence the type of place Dundee is or the type of designers that are here? And actually some of those like companies that are still in the city around, you know, like ATM machines, for example, NCR's research and development is here in the city. We also just recently had one of the companies in Dundee makes data cables which pass messages from the Mars rover to satellites. So that's kind of like,
oh, now I saw this courier, yes.
Yeah, so I can't actually remember the company off the top of my head. So things like that. So some really interesting, just interesting design stories that are still going on in the city. And also that kind of combined with, you know, with the smaller creative industries and the independent makers and, You know, the fashion designers, the ceramicists, illustrators. You've got loads of digital. It is a really vibrant it's a vibrant place to be a designer. And so I think all of that contributes quite significantly. But I also think there's something in Dundee, and it's quite hard. I'm not quite sure how to kind of like put my finger on it. But this idea or this acknowledgement that as a city, we believe that creative people, so in general, creative people, we do this through design, but that creative people should be involved in our decision-making processes, that the city should be thinking through how its developments contribute to making it the best place for people who work in the creative industries to be, and how we can use some of those design tools to really embed people, everyday people, in making Dundee a better place to live. And I think that approach, probably more so, if I'm being honest, than the kind of instant thing when you think about design, you think about fashion and textiles and all that stuff. But that that design thinking, that you know, the service design approach, I think that's probably what makes us maybe a wee bit special here in Dundee.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? Design permeates. It touches on every part of our lives. I mean, it's. I think what's interesting about design, and probably must really frustrate designers, is that when it's good, we don't think about it, and we just sort of, you know, it's just sort of beautifully around us, and it's helping us do our work, or it's helping us get on with life or cook our meal or whatever. But I love this idea of design and creativity being at the heart of what Dundee's approach has been to their city centre. I mean, because it's seen a huge amount of development, redevelopment over the past 20 years, and you know, it's been a huge change, particularly at the waterfront. I wonder if you could reflect upon those kind of changes that have been happening in the city. And I guess, I suppose it's difficult to know as well, because with COVID, we're not able to be out. But I wonder if you could reflect upon those changes in the city and how design has shaped and how creativity has been at the heart of that approach.
Yeah, right. So I first came to Dundee as a student. So I should probably out myself here that I actually studied fine art. I'm not a designer myself. I didn't study design. And obviously, through this role, improving our knowledge and our understanding and everything's been really, really important.
Yeah.
But when I first came to Dundee, you got that real sense that creativity and culture was just this kind of like thread that just wove its way through things. You know, you could see it in stuff like really great public art program. You could see it in the kind of music scene. The amount of, obviously with the art school, exhibitions and stuff like that was going on, just really kind of vibrant.
When I came
to Dundee, it maybe didn't exist in the physicality of the city centre. And those changes that we've seen, certainly from an urban planning point of view, around new train station, knocking down, people will remember the walkways over from the train station, over the roads, and actually, as someone coming from the Highlands, I was like, oh, wow, the big city. But then you quite quickly understood that these things are maybe, they're not the safest thing at night, they're not all of that kind of thing. You're thinking, how do those design improvements actually, again, just improve the way in which we interact with our kind of urban environment? And seeing those changes, like I'll be totally honest, I was one of those people that kind of sat there and sort of, they were saying, this is going to get knocked down and the road's going to be totally rechanged, and obviously when they start talking about V&A Dundee, we're going to build this flagship museum, and I was a bit of a kind of like, well, I'll believe it when I see the foundations, I'll kind of wait, won't get too excited about it until you actually see it happening. But Dundee's one of those places that kind of just like sort of almost commit, like they're like, we're doing this and we're going to commit to it and we're going to make it happen. And even just those like small...
There's a very independent spirit, I think, isn't there?
Yeah, very, absolutely. And also like this kind of sense that people go, people are quite derogatory about Dundee. It does have its problems. We acknowledge those, and there's a lot of work being done, to improve some of those problems. But actually, externally, the perception of the city is really negative, and it has been for a long time, and it is still quite negative, especially within Scotland. When you talk to people about Dundee, they're like, why are you going there? You know, just drive past it to get to Aberdeen or whatever. Mm. And so trying to change those, but changing them for us, not changing them for the external perception.
Yeah.
So making sure it's like, if it works for the community that are here, if it works for the people who live in Dundee, then it will work for the people who come and visit, because they can then enjoy all of these things, whether it's, you know, a major design museum, whether it's bars or cafes, whether it's independent shops, whether it's the urban realm itself, you know, the improvements to green spaces and things. If it, if it works for community first, then I do believe it will work for the visitors. And that's the sort of approach that we should take. And I think that Dundee 80% of the time takes.
Well, it's a learning process, isn't it? I think I love the idea of focusing on who the city's for, who people who use it every day, and people who live, work there, shop there. It's and then actually let's sort that out before, and then the people will come, you know, we'll build it and they'll come. I love the idea as well that you're talking about urban realm and about that, about kind of shaping the city and how the city feels as well, not only in the green spaces but in the sculpture and in the within the city as well, which is a huge part of how Dundee feels. It's about, this art is everywhere, this like you see these touches of touches of really playfulness actually within the city, particularly around use of animals and like there's dragons and there's penguins. It's gorgeous. But I wanted just to touch upon that urban realm aspect of something that's been done quite recently on Union Street, which has garnered, quite rightly, a huge amount of kind of press attention within Scotland. It was obviously installed in order to make space during COVID for people to have more space to physically distance. But you have taken a uniquely Dundee approach to it and what you've done to Union Street. So I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about what you've been doing there and, how you've really brought design into that shopping street.
Oh gosh, Union Street's been an absolute delight actually as a project to work on, but its context is really interesting. Mm. So we actually came on board probably, I think it might have been, must have been about May. Yeah, it must be May last year. And as you say, it's all about making more space for people to physically distance and supporting those businesses to have more space to trade outdoors or to be able to queue people safely, etc. And what happened was the Scottish Government through Sustrans put together a stack of money. Like, I'm just going to be really honest, you know, the amount of money that was available to Scotland is crazy cash. You know, they've always clearly got money hidden down the back of the sofa for that. And what was really interesting was watching, you know, as someone who's quite interested in, like, I'm interested in city centres and all of that stuff. So you're always like looking at the press to see kind of like what's been well received and what's not. And I noticed that there was these announcements that were saying things like, and not just in Dundee, you know, Perth and Fife, going, you know, we're going to shut this road down, we're going to take away this parking, we're going to, you know, like, pedestrianise this. And it was really negative. And the initial feedback was super, super negative. And from our point of view, we were trying to kind of just drill down to see like what's the reason for that negativity. And it was just classic. It was just, to be honest, people who had a list of ideas, some of which had been put forward previously. So the pedestrianisation of Union Street is an idea that came from a business conversation, but it wasn't something that was explored. And so they just kind of put this list together that said, oh yeah, we'll make a cycle lane here, we'll close this bit of road off, and we'll pedestrianise Union Street. And of course, the businesses just went, like, just lost it. They were just like, what are you doing? Nobody's talked to us. You know, we're already really struggling through COVID. This is going to be an absolute disaster. And that dialogue just wasn't there. So we work in partnership with Dundee City Council all the time. It's, you know, really important to say that UNESCO City of Design is a citywide partnership project. And we have a series of different projects running with different partners across the city, and Dundee State Council is one of them. So it was quite easy to kind of get to the right person and say, look, we could take this off your hands. I was like, you've got a kind of, you know, you've got an issue here with Union Street. Let us take a co-design approach to the pedestrianisation, and let's just see what happens. Because the point of the SusTrans money was that it was temporary anyway. So these measures can be removed. They were designed to be able to be removed really easily. I was like, we have literally nothing to lose here. So
I love that.
And I guess as well, like, you know, at that time in May, you know, things had kind of like slowed down a bit. You know, we were obviously all in lockdown, trying to work from home. A lot of our projects had been paused. We usually be running events at that time of year. So our team were a bit like, oh, give us something to get stuck into. Mm. And we approached partners that we'd worked with in the past, the Service Design Academy, who are based at Dundee and Angus College. And we approached them and they were like, yes, we're right up for this as well. Let's get involved. So we started off, like, we just started off talking to people. Like, really basic.
Isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. did a kind of like group call, which was quite intense. And then,
how many people were on that call?
Oh, good question. Probably about 25. Like, not like loads. Because, well, yeah. And Union Street's not the biggest street in the town. And actually, the great thing about it is it is full of a lot of, well, it's mainly independents, actually. And a lot of businesses that have been there for a long time. So good relationships between the business owners and the landlords or the property agents that let out those units. So yes, we had this kind of like the Zoom call, and then I followed up with a whole series of individual conversations. And through Service Design Academy, we really wanted to identify, well, do you know what, we were just doing good service design practices. So things, you know, that you hear of, like, you know, the empathy mapping stage, you know, thinking it through from somebody else's perspective, you know, asking people, like, what do you feel when you go into Union Street? What do you hear? What are people saying about Union Street? And what do you see with your own eyes, you know, right now? What do you think about Union Street? And also, what do you think your customers think? What do you think the council think? What do you think residents think? Trying to get into the mind of other people and trying to build that empathy between the businesses really helps, because they start to see that it's not, yes, like, their opinion is obviously really important, but there's a bigger picture, and how we can kind of work that bigger picture together, and how we can try and see things from different people's points of view. And for me, that's really, really important, because the result of some of that work was that actually we've built a community has come out of Union Street. You know, the businesses have talked about the fact that they never interacted with each other before. They just arrived at work, worked and left again. You know, they didn't come out and chat to each other and that thing. And that has changed. They've gotten to know each other a lot better. So we basically did like a series. So Service Design Academy led a series of like online workshops where we used some of the like digital tools, which was quite early on in digital tool using, you know, Miro boards and all that kind of thing. But the businesses really embraced it. And then what we did was we also made this commitment to really working with a variety of different designers from different disciplines and trying to pull that together to realise the ideas of the businesses. And what's quite interesting when I look back now, I'm like, they're actually quite straightforward ideas. You know, it really was just things around, you know, more greenery, space for people to trade, making the street, you know, welcoming, inviting, colourful. Colour comes out so often, when we've been talking about Union Street, and we've started doing another project. Again, it's still SusTrans money, and it's still Spaces for People programs, but it's out in the district shopping centres. And every time it's colour, brightness, brighten the area up, get rid of the grey, get rid of the tarmac, paint the streets. Yeah. You know, it's really that comes out so strongly.
It can be so clever with the use of colour. I mean, I think right now we are desperately craving colour as well, mainly because also it adds joy, I think, to our we're so used to looking at the same four walls at the moment. Anything that's different or vibrant, or also I listened to something the other day about, you know, the colours that we only see abroad. You know, there's colours that we don't use in Britain, or like, you know, just we desperately, somebody was saying that as beautiful as your blue of the sea that you could only have in Greece, like, you know, gosh, wow, that'd be beautiful. So to bring this to our public spaces and our shopping centres, wow, how revitalizing that could be, you know.
I
love that.
And there are amazing products out there. So, you know, even just thinking about kind of like, in, you know, design innovation, like there are some amazing street painting products that are tested for cars and vehicle access, you know, tested for slips and trips, you know, all of that kind of thing. And that come in a whole variety of different colours. And and in Union Street, actually, the product that we use is like a temporary chalk-based paint, which biodegrades over time and is non-toxic and all that kind of stuff. But there is a kind of, there's a permanent version of that. And we are actually now in talks about making the street graphic. We call it the super graphic, making the super graphic permanent. Actually on Union Street. So let me go back a bit before I kind of like jump too far ahead.
I distracted you.
No, it's my eyes distracting myself. Those were the things that really came out from the businesses. And then I had this kind of interesting balance where I had to solve some of the problems that were being put forward to us. So things like how do I get deliveries to my pub? How do I get, there are some high value businesses on that street who get, you know, significant cash uplifts, etc. You know, they have a secure, you know, the G4S guy comes around.
Of course.
You know, all that kind of thing. So how do we solve some of that? But once we actually, again, just thinking it through in that process is, you know, we quite often, when people ask us, like, what is design? Sometimes we just say, oh, solving a problem. So, kind of like pull it right down to that. And in Union Street, it very much was solving a whole bunch of problems together. So we got these kind of designs together, which were really straight, really simple interventions, planters that Dundee City Council already owned. The furniture designer that we were working with would clad to give it that kind of warmth natural materials.
Yeah.
Dundee City Council had a whole load of plants. So while at times people have kind of asked us why we planted certain plants where we did, it was kind of like, because that's what we had available. So we just kind of get them in. And then that allowed us to create these kind of spaces for outdoor seating. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that came up, the way we want to do it with Union Street as well, was like thinking through that we really believe that when you doing a design process, you have to have the opportunity for failure. Mm. And you have to have the space to make changes. Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely one of the things that we did on Union Street, that we knew that we could easily move these planters if they weren't quite in the right position. And some of the feedback we got from residents, because initially a lot of businesses were involved, but as things start to happen on the street, residents kind of start to get a bit more engaged. Mm. And they were saying that like they don't have anywhere to go. There's no gardens for those attached to those tenements. So we then commissioned a parklet, a wooden kind of like structure that takes over two parking spaces, and it was for anybody to sit on, because of course if you're in a cafe and you've got your kind of cafe seating, you're kind of expected obviously to buy something. So this was a space where people could, you know, get an ice cream and sit down, or again where neighbors actually, you know, might be stopped and, you know, might be just out having a cigarette and can chat to someone else. So that was kind of like the second phase. And then once we knew the planters and stuff were in the right position, although we have moved them since then, we were pretty happy. We got the super graphic down, and that was great. We worked with a designer called Callum Laird, and he's a recent graduate of DJCAD. And we were able to also do a little bit of mentoring with the design company Agency of None, who we've worked with quite a lot Design Festival. Well, they're our producers for the current Dundee Design Festival. And so we were able to kind of not sort of like just throw Callum in at the deep end, but help kind of have a more experienced designers kind of guide him through that process as well, which is really really nice. And then connect when we needed to bring in so many experts, because we needed to like paint this graphic on the street, and I had no idea how we were going to take these tiny little sketches to, you know, the street. But colleagues at Dundee Rep, like that's what they do all the time in the scenic painting team. Yeah, they, you know, a designer comes up with an idea and they say, go paint that on the stage. Leela was able to come in and really support us. So that was great, actually. And working with her was just, was absolutely brilliant. And we had a whole team of students who painted, who actually infilled, like she sort of drew it out and then they painted. And again, residents and people were kind of coming down and going like, can I paint? And we were like, yeah, sure, come in. Get a brush and get involved. So that was really, really great, just to see that kind of ownership, that community ownership growing. For the success of a space like Union Street, that community ownership is really essential, because I don't want to be going down and watering those plants or, you know, doing that kind of thing.
To do, do you know what I mean?
And also we're quite often like, oh, we're done with that project now, okay, bye, you know, we go off and do something else. But you know, the pubs, you know, one of the pubs was like, no, we will plant these and water these. And one of the residents was like, oh, I wondered if like I could start planting vegetables. One of the other bars was like, basically said like the amount of money they spend on mint for their cocktails is like crazy. So could they grow mint for the bar in the planter? We're like, so stuff like that, it's just that sense of community. And also the whole time just doing really good things like, you know, data collection, surveys, talking to people, you know, who do you like this? Do you not like this? Is it benefiting your business? Is there negative things that we didn't know about that have kind of transpired? Is there positive things? And so we have, you know, we have responded to a few of them, and we've still got a couple of changes to make, because as we all know, you know, obviously the pandemic is going to be with us for a while. And even with the vaccination rollout, you know, it's clear that physical distancing is a thing. So we're the Union Street pedestrianisation as it is at the moment will continue for the rest of the year. And then what's really great is that Dundee City Council are interested in, could this be permanent? So having tested and demonstrated its potential success, they have now said, okay, let's have a look at this with a proper, you know, proper streetscaping. You know, our planters, to be honest with you, if a car, you know, we've had a few cars bang into them and the wood falls off because, you know, they were only designed to last six months.
Well, they're only temporary, I know.
Temporary, yeah. So I quite often get the odd call and you know, I'm phoning Martin from Roots Furniture who did the planters and going, we need to go down and do some repairs and mess up pieces like that because somebody's driven into one again. A few bits and pieces like that that we're that we have to kind of continue to look after. But I think the really exciting thing about Union Street and about it just it's like somebody used this phrase the other day, a test of change. Union Street is a test of change. And when we're thinking about what are our city centres going to be in the future, you know, like I can't see like us going back to the office full time. You know, I just can't see that being a thing. You know, I think that there's been so many changes and positive ones around, you know, working life and balance of working life. But that means that if like, say, for instance, just take me as an example, if I'm not in the city centre 5 days a week and I'm not buying coffee 5 days a week and I'm now only buying it 2 or 3 days, you know, what's the knock-on impact to footfall and to the economic, you know, to the economics of that? Like what?
Yeah.
And I think that's the stuff that we really do need to start really seriously thinking, because I don't think our city centres are just going to bounce back and return as they were. And I also think that a lot of people now are demanding different things. And again, I think Union Street's a good example of that. Like people are demanding better quality urban environments. The people who live on those streets have recognised the fact that they have no access to green space. So they want somewhere to grow vegetables. They want somewhere that they can dig in the dirt with their kids. And how you therefore provide that balance. And if our city centres, and this is one of the things Dundee City Council are talking about a lot, is about bringing people back to city centre, you know, people being able to live in the city centre, because that will, you know, have an economic benefit, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, well, you have to actually want to live in that type of housing, and it has to be quality, and the urban, the public realm, and your urban environment have to be high quality places that people are actually going to want to spend their time in, because otherwise, you know, people will just buy houses in suburbia, and in the countryside, and they won't travel into our city centres.
Mm. And with that comes a whole other bunch of issues that we need to keep. I think we can't, well, I'm just even thinking in terms of sustainability, in terms of, you know, we can't, it's not great for the environment if we keep everyone out of the town centre and people having to commute constantly and all of that. But I'm really interested in this idea of us suddenly being awoken, I guess, particularly to the green space and the importance of green space, and how easy it, well, obviously there was a lot of work that you just described there, but relatively short term, you can really turn an area around. You know, Union Street went from being somewhere that was felt quite congested, it was a wee bit dirty, it was sort of like, it was actually a corridor for getting from the train station. God, it's been so long since I've been in one, that's the problem. Train station into town. And now it's become a destination in itself. And through the collaborative working that you talked about so beautifully there, is that something that you can see that approach then kind of being expanded to the whole of Dundee? Is that something that Dundee's now looking at more broadly?
Yeah, so from our point of view, we see that as absolutely essential. Mm-hmm. Like we will continue to fight for that collaborative approach going forward, because I don't actually see, like, I just don't see a way in which it would work otherwise. Mm-hmm. Because and it's not to be kind of like, not to be down on anyone, you know, in planning or, you know, or any of that kind of stuff, because I think quite often when we have these conversations, it's like people get a bit defensive. Mm. You know, because they're going, you know, well, I know what I'm talking about, and you're like, yeah, no, absolutely, but these people, you know, but, and this is slight rant now, but I'm like, but you know, but do you, you know, you're talking about you're talking about people who are really passionate about making change in the city centre, but I was on a call about city centre changes the other day, and of all the people on the call, I was the only one that's been in the city centre in the last month. And so you're sitting there kind of thinking to yourself, okay, we're coming up with these ideas and we're thinking about these things, but actually the people who know what it's like day to day are not here. You know, and so that's the bit for me. It's like, how do we make sure that we really use the expertise of local people, of communities? I don't always necessarily know what's the right phrase. And how do we use design to almost like, or how do we use tools in design, or how do we put those kind of design tools into those people's hands so that they are able to participate in making change in their immediate area? And I think, and I sort of, I've posed a question to myself that I'm not totally sure how to answer.
Actually, it's like a philosopher.
I was like, oh, how do we do that? Yeah. And for Friday afternoon, I'm like, oh, I'm not sure. That's maybe a tricky question. But I do think, you know, I think there's things that we have, you know, again, you know, we maybe have prototyped through things like Design Festival or through Union Street, or, you know, we've tried stuff. And again, you know, maybe it's not every approach works for every community. What we've done on Union Street, that approach may not necessarily work somewhere else. But we have to find a way, I guess, to kind of do a bit of a power shift, and think about our role. I was going to say, like, our role as a civil servant. I'm not totally sure I am a civil servant in that sense, but that idea of, like, you know, you're there to work for the benefit of your city. So how do we do that, and how do we maybe break out of some of the ways in which we've worked in the past and think about new ways of working? And that is hard. You know, that's really challenging, challenging things. But I suppose in Dundee, the way we do that is we just show little examples and little tests. And we go, see, we did it on Union Street and it is possible. And then taking that through other ways so that it's not as unknown or as scary an approach maybe the next time it goes round.
So, yeah, that is so powerful as well. When you have examples that not only people can see, but they can feel the difference. And you've got residents who live on Union Street or, you know, live in the city centre or, you know, when change happens, I think it's just important. You know, somebody said to me once, if you feel something, you never forget it. You know, as in like, if you feel it within your soul, how you felt, you know how you felt, you can sing that from the rooftops. You can tell people, you can bring people with you using that. And I think it's just such a powerful tool. You know, you mentioned Dundee Design Festival, and I wonder if we could just pick up on that, because about, again, thinking about the role of design in Dundee. And, you know, I think the project that you did, particularly with the Keillor Centre, stood out for me. And for those who don't know the Keillor Centre, so Keillor Centre is a sort of, I don't know when it was built, gosh, 60s?
So it's actually, it was 40 years old exactly in 2019 when we held the festival there. It was its 40th birthday.
Goodness me. Okay, so fast maths, 69.
It's no, 79.
79, gosh, sorry, apologies. I'll edit this out. So 79. And it stood out to me because I remember when I studied human geography just in the first year, and we had to compare the Overgate, which again, for those of you not in Dundee, is I think it boasts to be the only glass-sided, one-sided shopping centre in Europe, I think. But very light, huge, kind of really big on space, airiness in a feel in a shopping centre. And then when it was built, it was particularly cutting edge. Coming through from Perth, seeing that in Dundee was really something. And we had to compare that with the Keillor Centre, which was designed in a very different era where it was almost about blocking out all the light. As in, like, it was like you went in and it was like these little kind of roots of shops, and, you know, it was a real, I suppose, arcade, I think, for want of a better word, but very different.
Yeah, it's a good way of describing it.
And I just bringing what you brought to it. So tell us a little bit about that project in the Keillor Centre and about the Dundee Design Festival more generally.
So Dundee Design Festival, when we became a UNESCO City of Design, we had an ambition to hold a major design festival, and we wanted to do it. This is going to sound really bad, right? It's not coming across like that. We kind of wanted to do it before V&A Dundee opened. Because V&A Dundee were doing stacks and stacks and stacks of stuff in the city, and actually they were a big part of the first Dundee Design Festival. But we wanted to show that idea that there's lots of things happening in design around the city.
And it existed before them. We didn't need this. Come on.
Yeah, totally.
We did it on our own.
And that bit of going, like, you know, we showing things, you know, international examples, because obviously as UNESCO City of Design, we're part of this amazing international network of other design cities around the whole world. So we had this ambition to run a design festival. And the first couple of years, it took place in an old printworks, an industrial building that was owned by DC Thompson's, where they used to print the Beano and the Dandy and all that kind of thing. So that was great. And I suppose, just to give you kind of my context, I've got a bit of a habit of turning spaces into stuff. So I quite like a kind of random space and then doing something. I've been involved in projects before where we used to have an art centre in an old motorbike shed in Inverness. We had one time the Scottish Opera came to Inverness and performed in a multi-story car park. This was years ago as well. So kind of like, I remember that some of my kind of earliest sort of work. And then actually my partner runs fringe venues for Edinburgh Festival Fringe. And so that, again, that kind of idea that one minute you're in a hotel room, and then a day later, well, not even a day, like 4 hours later, it's a theatre. It's something that it's really,
magical,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's totally magical. And so when we talked about Design Festival for 2019, we were talking about the theme, and the theme was livable, lovable cities. And our producers, Agency of None, which is Lyle Bruce and Ryan McLeod, we were really kind of talking about, like, where could it be? Because it's the context of an empty retail space would probably be a really, really good fit, because talking about that, you know, what is the future use of these spaces in the context of a livable city and in the context of a livable city. And so, the Keeler Centre were right up for it. We approached them and we had that kind of chat and we talked about what we'd done in the past. And again, you know, built that relationship with the manager there and the security staff and the businesses. And I think what's really, really important is we wanted to be really, really clear that what we don't want to do, and actually what we never want to do with our projects, and Union Street is just a clear example of that as well, is that we do not want to come in and be part of a gentrification process. Mm. That is not what we do at Dundee Design Festival. It's not what we do at UNESCO City of Design. We really, really want to work hard to make sure that we don't find ourselves in the situation where designers come into a space, it becomes cool and funky, and then the landlord goes, great, thanks for that. Off you all go someplace else. I'm now going to rent this for twice as much, sell this for twice as much, yeah, or do whatever. And it's hard, and it's really, really hard. And it's something that I think we acknowledge in Dundee, and we're aware of it. So we're aware of the kind of how we could get tripped up in some of the projects that we're doing. We're thinking about it all the time, actually. Mm. And accessibility and inclusivity is absolutely core to that. Because the Keeler Centre had its own community. Yeah. You know, there were businesses in there that had been there for 40 years.
Amazing place, actually.
Yeah,
like greengrocers and like wool shops and sweet shops and
and the key cutters and the newsagent and you know, the nail bar and stuff, and it's sad. So now of all the units, I was there a couple of weeks ago, and they only have 13 active businesses in the premise now, and I think there's something like 47 units or something. So it really, really has fallen on hard times, and even harder since we were there in Design Festival. So what we want to do, and I might come back to a little bit to the kind of legacy around Design Festival and one of my sort of like also like the biggest regrets. But like what we really want to do with Design Festival was in the Keeler Centre was just to show that you can think about this in a different way. It doesn't have to be a shop. So just because it's a shopping centre and just because it's a retail space or traditional retail space doesn't mean that that's the use that needs to be there now.
Yeah.
And how do we start to rethink our city centres? How do we start to rethink those types of shopping centres which exist all over? I bet people listening to this are like, oh yeah, I've got a late 60s, 70s shopping centre in my town as well.
Yeah.
And how do we try and see what those like alternative models might be, whether it's co-working or shared spaces, or you know, whether it's service-based. So for Design Festival, we had a library, for example. So we had a whole host of design related books that had been donated to us, and it was just a space with tables, good plug sockets, good Wi-Fi so that people could work easily there, and there was coffee, the Batch, which is a local coffee shop which is a stone's throw away in the Keeler Centre. They came and did a little pop-up, so we had really good coffee and good snacks and stuff, and then thinking that through about like how do you bring in audiences that might not traditionally engage with design. And one of the ways we've done that with Design Festival over the years is the more activity, the more hands-on workshop type things, the better, and the more people can kind of engage with the process of design. So we had this great thing called Poster Playground, and you could come in no matter what your age was and make these posters in different ways. There was printmaking, which Dundee Print Collective worked with us on, and they manned this kind of workshop space, a sort of messy area. And then there was a more clean zone where you could kind of build your own posters with these kind of acrylic shapes, and then you took a photo of it. And then at the end of the night, what we did was we printed all of these out, and then we went up and pasted them up down on the hoardings at the waterfront at Slessor Gardens.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, so just trying to make that connection back because the Keeler Centre is so hidden that like you didn't even know it was there.
It is.
Actually.
Yeah.
But what, like, you know, if Ryan and Lyle were here just now, you know, they'd be talking about they'd be talking about it as a whole, you know, and things like the signage, the colour choices, the way in which people moved through through the Keeler Centre, all of that as a process and as a considered design process and interaction is really, really important. And how things that we did in Design Festival are potentially prototypes for other things that could happen in the city. So one of the spaces was called Subject Availability, which was basically a workshop space where you could see the designer make their product and talk to them about their process.
That's so fun.
Yeah, really, really, really good. And then you could go around to the shop and buy it.
Even better.
Yeah, exactly. We were basically buying everything. So you've got that. So it's like that connection. You know, you're seeing a designer working, and then you're going, well, that's the end product, and that's actually available right there. So it's very much like, it's very tangible, it's very real. And I think for us, you know, in Design Festival, that's really important to make sure that that you can really relate to design, and that you can see how it impacts your life, whether that's a really great object or a process or a piece of healthcare or, you know, whatever.
It's really experiential, isn't it? Like, I think that bringing that in, and even in, if we only just look at it in a shopping context, in terms of like watching the maker make something and then actually being able to hold that in your hands as yours, but that's bringing something that didn't exist, just again, if we look at the Keeler Centre, that didn't exist, and but it's adding another element to the shopping experience and another reason to visit, and it's something that will become really central in how we shop in future as well, even if we just look at that context, you know.
You're totally right. And that thing of like adding the layers of the why to visit, I think is really important. Mm-hmm. And I think when we, again, you know, just when we think about our city centres and the future, we have to give people a reason to come into our city centres.
Yeah.
There has to be a thing for them to experience. And as we kind of get into that, you know, especially, you know, we've got this kind of hybrid sort of experience now with our museums and art galleries have been amazing at putting on digital content that we can access from home. But what does that mean as we go forward? Like, how do we balance some of that stuff that people are very comfortable accessing at home with the live experience that you can only get, you know, if you're there, and what is that? And, you know, I do think, you know, as humans generally, you know, we crave each other, we crave interactivity, we need that, don't we?
I think as well it feels deeply unsatisfying online. I think there's something about, yes, it's fine, but it's great while we can't be together, but there's definitely something that the embodied experience gives that it doesn't come anywhere near. I think that's what we're all craving, I think, which will help us have a bit of bounce back when we go back to shopping or to congregate. I was just actually thinking as well, you know, the way that Dundee is, I mean, it's mostly pedestrianised, or certainly people priority space, and really quite traditional in terms of, it's got a big town centre, big kind of town meeting space outside Caird Hall, and you've got that kind of space of people to congregate and be together, which is just what our town centres are basically for. I mean, we're all just medieval people, really, aren't we? We just need places to sell our wares and just to chat to and gossip with our neighbours. That's all we're after.
And you know what? You're so right. Dundee is absolutely primed for that. Like, we often talk in Dundee about this kind of like sense that it's a radial city. So, you know, we're sitting, Dundee City Centre, you know, sits right on the edge of the water, and everything comes out from that,
yes,
you know, on the north side of the city. And you'll often find that people won't go sideways. You know, like people won't go from the Hilltown to Stobbs Well, because those are two different communities that are right beside each other. But people from Hilltown will go to the city centre, and people from Stobbs Well will go to the city centre, and they'll meet in the city centre. You're like, okay. And that's the bit where I'm like, that's fun. That's interesting for me as somebody, like, I grew up and I didn't grow up with that same kind of boundaries. But Dundee has it in its physicality, and the kind of like Lockie Road, you know, splits that up, and Hilltown splits it up, and Albert Street, you know, comes out, and there's all these kind of radial sort of roads spreading out from city centre. And it just means that our kind of physicality means we interact with our city centre in a particular way. And I think it's quite interesting. It's probably not something we see anywhere anywhere else. But we do have, you mentioned that, we have got loads of pedestrian areas. But again, they're not like they were, like they were totally like cutting edge and everything at their time. But now we look back on it, we go, there's maybe not enough greenery, there's maybe not enough
yes.
seating, there's maybe not, you know, just that kind yeah. of thing where actually, oh yeah, why is it that these cars can still get down here? Well, because there's no actual bollards to stop them, so people do yeah. you know, so some of those wee yeah, changes yeah. I think that could be made could be made in the future.
Because that goes back to that adaptability thing you were talking about as well, is that, you know, these spaces need to move with us. They need to change with us. We can't stay, and we wouldn't want to stay stagnant. And I think it's really important that our public space reflects the changes in our society or reflects what we now need. And I do think that's just so interesting, you know, about the green spaces. I think people are going to want it more. I think there's definitely going to be, you know, I'm even looking out my window and, I've got a bit of grass, but I'm desperately looking for something green to hold on to, and there's nothing around me. You know, I'm constantly surrounded by buildings. So it's, yeah, I think this period of time has been really interesting for us to really reflect on what we want from our mm-hmm. spaces now going forward.
Yeah, and you've totally hit the nail on the head there as well when you use the word adaptability. And like we're so Dundee Design Festival will return in September 2021. I think I might have just made Gorgeous. That announcement without telling the rest of the team I was going to say that publicly. But
Do we have an exclusive?
You might have an exclusive there. And another exclusive, we just launched our Dundee Design Festival Instagram account. That's a really good question. I think if you just search for Dundee Design Festival, it comes up. It's actually like Dund_ Design Festival. So it's like DND_ Design Festival.
Nice.
There's not enough letters. But yeah, I think if you search Dundee Design Festival, it should come up. But yeah, so we've just, because we're going to share over the next kind of 3 months content from the previous festivals in the lead up to the 2021 festival. But the reason I'm mentioning all of that is because you mentioned adaptability. Mm-hmm. And we work with our producers for a 3-year period. So Agency of None will produce this festival in September as well. And when we were thinking about how do you do an event in a single space with a context, with a COVID context, and it's like, well, you just can't, like, it's just the impossibility. And how do we think about the potential changes and how quickly those changes could come on us when we're trying to plan an event, and how do we react to that? So Ryan and Lyle have very much considered that Dundee Design Festival 2021 will be a flexible and adaptive design festival. And it needs to be able to have the systems in place that can quickly respond to changes. So if you can't open your doors of that building, well, how do you still interact with that content? And how is that more than just simply sticking it online where you're like, oh, well, we can't do it, so we'll just do a really quick video of the space, la la, and then just post that on the internet. Like that's not good enough. So
it's not going to cut it anymore, is it?
It's not going to cut it anymore. So we'll Design Festival 2021 will be located across various different venues that we're calling design houses, and they'll be out based in communities as well. So yeah, so really, really exciting. So like, watch the space, follow us on Instagram, and yeah,
very exciting. Oh gosh, I can't wait. Oh god, the idea of traveling to Dundee, as in like traveling to see the place and to experience something new, it would be wonderful. I very much look forward to that. I suppose as we think about approaching the end of our kind of conversation, I wonder, what are your biggest hopes for Dundee in terms of its I mean, you know, quite a big question, but in terms of what the city centre could look like, or what is the biggest opportunity do you feel for the city?
It's the right kind of size to just give stuff a go. Yeah. And I think that's the opportunity that Dundee has, actually, is to just try something, give it a shot, see if it works. And if it does, then brilliant. Let's follow that a little bit further. And if it doesn't, okay, well then let's change it. Because we're not Glasgow, you know, we're not Manchester or London, you know, we're not struggling with, I mean, yes, yeah, we are struggling with, you know, big ideas and about how we build, you know, sustainability and how we address climate change and how we make sure, you know, the low emission zone, for example, for cars, you know, when, I can't remember what year it's going to come in, but, you know, there'll be a boundary around Dundee City Centre that you won't be able to bring certain cars into. But I think Dundee's opportunity is that it's kind of like, it's like a Goldilocks scale, and it's just right for trying stuff out and for giving stuff a go. And I think that we also have the right type of people in Dundee who are willing to take that chance. Mm-hmm. And if we can find a way, and I suppose this is kind of big picture, but it's something that we really want to commit to as a UNESCO site of design, and we would love to see design embedded in like every layer of local planning, for everything, you know, from structures and transport. I suppose that's me making like sound like design is not involved in planning traffic, which it is, but I guess it's that real conscious thought of good design, mm-hmm. and good design practices, and could we use more skills with different types of designers, different perspectives, you know, could we bring that in and have those kind of opportunities for real sort of for really kind of like flexible conversations and idea generation. I would love us to have more of a commitment to doing that as a city. And there are other places, like shout out to Helsinki, who's another UNESCO city of design, who we absolutely love and respect hugely. And also another one in Denmark, Kolding, which also have that same approach where, you know, design is so like integral to who they are in those countries and places, and that they really have, you know, they have chief design officers, you know, they have design advisory groups, they have, you know, all of those kind of things. And I think there might be, yeah, there's the opportunity now for Dundee, I guess as well, like as a, you know, being a UNESCO City of Design for nearly seven years, and as we maybe move into this next stage of us as a UNESCO City of Design, you know, we've maybe done a lot of the, this is going to sound really, it's not what I'm thinking, you know, we've done a lot of the kind of aesthetic, maybe, you know.
Yeah. And actually, you've got the massive design museum, you know, we've done the waterfront stuff.
We've done the waterfront.
Gardens
are looking good, you know, like all of that kind of thing. It's like, okay, so maybe now that there's lots of people doing some of that stuff, you know, maybe we can really start to drill down at really walking the talk, I guess, because we do talk about that in Dundee. We talk about design being embedded in our public sector, and actually maybe we just need to really make sure that it actually is. And that's probably our next, I'm not sure it's an opportunity, maybe it's our challenge.
Yeah, well, I think that's wonderful. Maybe they're the same, maybe they're one and the same.
Yeah, they probably are actually.
It's fun. Oh, it's just so fascinating to speak to you, Annie. I think you speak with such enthusiasm and real passion for the city and for the role of design. And it's tremendously exciting. I mean, I obviously don't live in Dundee. I have friends who live in Dundee. But I'm so tremendously excited for them and to visit, because I just think there's a real exciting future. It's already a fantastic city and it's already doing wonderful things. But if it takes this approach and continues this approach, I think there's some really beautiful stuff that's going to come out from that.
Yeah. And you know what? It's that thing where I love how you sort of talk about that with sort of like visiting and you've got friends here, and it's that pride. So just like tell a wee anecdote.
Please.
This is like several years ago now, maybe 6 years ago, just after I'd moved here, a friend of mine lives in Glasgow. And she came up, I said, oh, come up to Dundee, like come up for the night, you know, like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, come up to Dundee because we've got a brew dog. Yeah. She's like, okay. So
it was so exciting when it arrived.
So exciting, right? So exciting. It's also 2 seconds from me. So I actually live on the hill town. And so my brew dog is literally, I just roll down the hill into it. So that was amazing. So she came up and she went to Brewdog, had a great night, blah, blah, blah. And I think, you know, it probably went to McManus the next day, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And away she went. 2 years later, I was like, come back, because we've got these other places have opened. And, you know, so we were then able to probably also talking too much about going out on a night out. But, you know, I was like, oh, come and see this. So took to the wine press, which is, you know, really, really great. And so, you know, sort of took to a couple of places. And then she said, she was like, okay, it's time. I'm going to bring my husband back to Dundee. And it was that bit where, like, you know, you're kind of doing that thing of like growing it and growing it. And so then he came and we like went to the batch and had the most amazing, you know, dinner, and the staff there are so great. The folks that own it just, you know, really make that kind of experience. And then, you know, and then I was taking them around places, like opening like doors to like the abandoned ship bar or Session Street. And they were like, this is like being in any major European city. Like, you know, and we went, actually went to the V&A exhibition the next day, and they were like, you know, this is, you're absolutely like, you know, punching up with those places, like,
oh, yeah,
you know, like Bilbao, you know, somewhere like that, where you've got that real sense of lots of local people making amazing experiences, mm-hmm, alongside those brilliant cultural institutions like DCA, like McManus, like,
yeah,
you know, Verdant Works and Discovery and V&A Dundee and, you know, cinema programs and all of that cultural stuff. Yeah. And it's absolutely, it's just all those things have kind of hooked together at the right time to make it a brilliant place. And we just need to make sure that now, as we have the challenges that face Dundee, you know, probably are going to get harder, and the, you know, I'm sure we're going to have an economic downturn or whatever, mm-hmm, we have to make sure that those things that we value as a place and value as a people, mm-hmm, remain right up there, that we protect our cultural institutions, that we protect, you know, the role of creative people and of designers, you know, in our public sector, that we make sure that Dundee is one of the easiest places to find studio space or co-working space or whatever, so that, mm-hmm, so that our city does thrive, and so that our place works. So our place works for the people that are here.
Oh, what a wonderful way to close our conversation, Annie. That's fantastic. I don't know about anyone listening, but I feel like I just want to, as soon as possible, just jump on a train and just like head and, yeah, just like explore it again. And gosh, to enjoy a pint outside on,
I know. Well, Union, you're Street, all very welcome. Yeah, I'll be there as soon as we're allowed, having a pint on Union Street, admiring our work, thinking, ah, yes.
Oh, yeah. Look, I did this. Fantastic. Collaboratively, of course.
We did it.
A total pleasure to speak to you today, Annie. Thank you so much for joining us. And yeah, best of luck. And we really look forward to seeing the next steps for Dundee Design Festival and where you go next. So thank you.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, we look forward to hopefully being able to welcome you all in real life. And if not, then digitally.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please consider rating the show, writing a review, or telling a friend. It really helps us to be discovered by other like-minded listeners. Thanks for listening. Bye for now. Thank you for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did and you want to support me to continue to make the show, I would love it if you became a patron by clicking the link in the show notes. From as little as the price of a coffee a month, you'll receive behind the scenes content, blog posts and lots more. Click the link in the show notes to find out more, or head to patreon.com/independentthinking. Bye for now.